Throughout the modern thinking world, but especially in Britain, men of learning ventured into the countryside to do a little stone breaking, as they called it. It was a pursuit taken seriously, and they tended to dress with appropriate gravity in top hats and dark suits, except for the Reverend William Buckland of Oxford, whose habit it was to do his field work in an academic gown. The field attracted many extraordinary figures, not least the aforementioned Murchison, who spent the first 30 or so years of his life galloping after foxes, converting aeronautically challenged birds into puffs of drifting feathers with buckshot, and showing no mental agility whatever beyond that needed to read the Times or play a hand of cards. Then he discovered an interest in rocks, and became, with rather astounding swiftness, a titan of geological thinking. Then there was Dr. James Parkinson, who was also an early socialist and author of many provocative pamphlets with titles like Revolution Without Bloodshed. In 1794, he was implicated in a faintly lunatic-sounding conspiracy called the Popgun Plot, in which it was planned to shoot King George III in the neck with a poisoned dart as he sat in his box at the theatre. Parkinson was hauled before the Privy Council for questioning, and came within an ace of being dispatched in irons to Australia before the charges against him were quietly dropped. Adopting a more conservative approach to life, he developed an interest in geology, and became one of the founding members of the Geological Society, and the author of an important geological text, Organic Remains of a Former World, which remained in print for half a century. He never caused trouble again. Today, however, we remember him for his landmark study of the affliction then called the shaking palsy, but known ever since as Parkinson's disease. Parkinson had one other slight claim to fame. In 1785, he became possibly the only person in history to win a natural history museum in a raffle. The museum in London's Leicester Square had been founded by Sir Ashton Lever, who had driven himself bankrupt with his unrestrained collecting of natural wonders. Parkinson kept the museum until 1805, when he could no longer support it, and the collection was broken up and sold. Not quite as remarkable in character, but more influential than all the others combined, was Charles Lyell. Lyell was born in the year that Hutton died, and only 70 miles away in the village of Kinnordie. Though Scottish by birth, he grew up in the far south of England, in the New Forest of Hampshire, because his mother was convinced that Scots were feckless drunks. As was generally the pattern with 19th century gentleman scientists, Lyell came from a background of comfortable wealth and intellectual vigour. His father, also named Charles, had the unusual distinction of being a leading authority on the poet Dante and on mosses. Orthotricium Lyelli, which most visitors to the English countryside will at some time have sat on, is named for him. From his father, Lyell gained an interest in natural history, but it was at Oxford, where he fell under the spell of the Reverend William Buckland, he of the flowing gowns, that the young Lyell began his lifelong devotion to geology. Buckland was a bit of a charming oddity. He had some real achievements, but he is remembered at least as much for his eccentricities. He was particularly noted for a menagerie of wild animals, some large and dangerous, that were allowed to roam through his house and garden, and for his desire to eat his way through every animal in creation. Depending on whim and availability, guests to Buckland's house might be served baked guinea pig, mice in batter, roasted hedgehog, or boiled Southeast Asian sea slug. Buckland was able to find merit in them all, except the common garden mole, which he declared disgusting. Almost inevitably, he became the leading authority on coprolites, fossilized feces, and had a table made entirely out of his collection of specimens. Even when conducting serious science, his manner was generally singular. Once Mrs. Buckland found herself being shaken awake in the middle of the night, her husband crying in excitement,